Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Your hands together for a Cork GAA legend, Jimmy Barry Murphy.
Oh, hey, Jimmy.
Welcome, welcome. How's the farm, Jimmy?
Fine, thanks. All good now.
What was it like when Roy Keane, out of the blue, live on Monday Night Football and Sky Sports, when they're all talking about Muhammad Ali and this, when he says you're the greatest sports person of all time in his eyes. What was that like?
I was actually out having a pint with me local, and it was on in the background, and the sound was turned down. All of a sudden, everyone's phone started pinging, and they were saying, but they were able to rewind it and play it. It was fantastic, actually. And I suppose at my age, it brought me back into the limelight, so I had to thank Ryan off that for that.
Yeah. And you met him recently.
I did, I met him the other day, actually.
Yeah, so he's around the gaff with Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher at the moment.
Yeah, they were doing a piece around Cork on Roy's career and his life, and they were in Blarney Castle, they were in Rockmount, they were down in Cove.
That's right, and they were up Croke Park as well.
They were up Croke Park then in Torres, so they asked me to go up and great to meet Roy and the lads, and they were pucking footballs over the bar. Yeah. Not very well, I can say, but it was a good crack, and Roy is a very, very proud Corkman, as we all know, and it's great to meet him.
Yeah, absolutely. You should have said that we'd have gotten him a few tickets for the box above.
Right. Could be here, but he wouldn't tell you.
He's up there in the corner, like.
Well, let's take it right back. Do you want to tell us a bit about where you grew up, and maybe some of your, role models and when you were a kid?
Yeah, I grew up around the Lock area, the south side, really, off Maddle Farm Road, in Glasheen, with the Glass School in Glasheen, National School. And I learned my hurling and football in the Lock Parish Leagues and the Bars. I'm very, very proud. My father was very involved in that. So I grew up in that environment, and I was always going to play hurling and football from a very young age because it was in the family. And, growing up that time, there wasn't a lot of other interests we had. We all played hurling and football and soccer. And
did you have family members that played for Cork before you?
Yeah, my granduncle had captained Cork to win All-Ireland. My father had played with Cork. My granduncles had played with Cork. My grandfather had. So
was there a bit of pressure?
Not really.
Sounds like there was a little bit, maybe.
My father put pressure on me, all right?
Yeah.
I was able to handle it, I think, at times.
What were your role models back then, Jimmy? Who were your role models in the hurling?
Starting off, I suppose, in hurling in Cork, certainly the big name in Cork hurling always was Christy Ring. I didn't know him at the time, but that was the big figure because he had won 8 All-Irelands with Cork, and that was a record at that time. So he was the huge figure in Cork of all hurling men. Mm. And then my own club, of course, I started off and I was being coached by certain people in the bars, and my idols were, like you mentioned, Charlie McCarthy already. Yeah. Charlie was a great idol of mine, and Gerald McCarthy, Con Roach, people like that who were in my own club. And I ended up, I never thought I'd end up playing with my idols. I ended up then playing with these lads in latter years,
Yeah, and you played a bit of soccer as well.
I did indeed. I played soccer with local club Wilton United. Very, yeah. Very proud of that. I had great friends. We were all living in the locality, and it started off around that time, around 72 or 3, and great fun. They were great times as well.
Yeah, do you know, before you were telling me the last time you got sent off in a match, and you got a 3-game ban, and you ended up playing League of Ireland.
I was sent off playing with the Bars against the Glen out in Ballinlock in under 21 final.
Okay, people wouldn't think you have it in there.
The only time I was sent off was out in Ballinlock. I got a 3-month suspension, and I'm off playing soccer with Wilton, and I managed to get a couple of goals, and was a headline in the echo one night. Barry Murphy gets 5 goals or something, and I came home one night and it was over a few of the lads, and my father said it was the Cork Celtic manager was here, and he was known as the Golden Boy, Paul O'Donovan. And if some of the older people here remember him, he was a fantastic character, and he worked in Murphy's Brewery, but he was a tremendous character, and he was known as the Golden Boy, as I said. And my father said the Golden Boy was here while he was looking for you. I said, for what? He wanted to play with Celtic, so I had a few great months with him. I loved playing with Celtic.
And you played on Flower Lodge?
Played in Flower Lodge. I played in Turner's Cross. Played in Dalymount Park, Talca Park. Wow. And I made some great friends. And like lads from that time, I still meet around Jerry Myers and John Carroll. And I suppose the only thing that happened the year after I left Celtic, they won the league, so there must be a story there somewhere. Yeah. we were a horror story while I was there.
Go away.
I managed to get one goal, believe it or not. It was a dire record.
Go away, all that.
Out of all the sports, what was your favourite sport, hurling, football, or soccer?
I loved them all, I must say. Yeah. If I was to pick one, I really loved playing soccer. It was great crack. And yeah. It was a bit different than the GA because in my family, there was huge pressure on to do very well always. Whereas I found with the soccer, it was a bit more relaxing, and you know yourselves, everyone.
It was about the crack in the pub, anyway.
It was definitely. Yeah. players go in soccer. Players play with different clubs at different times, but when the year with the Bars or the Glen or Vincent or Piercing, and you never leave that. You know, most players don't leave it anyway.
One of the main reasons I played soccer myself was to go to the pub afterwards. To go to the Sunday games or the Saturday games, you go out there like there's a great crack with the soccer lads as well after.
It was, as I say, it was different in the year because it was much more relaxed. We used that time in the 70s, all my gang anyway, it's going back a long time now in the 70s, our local was the Swan and Signet, and some people here will remember the top of Patrick Street was a great pub at the time, and all the lads from the north side and south side used mingle there on a Sunday after all the soccer matches in GA. It was great crack.
There's a great story with Timmy with the football and the parting. They were playing down in Park against Park United, who were a good old team down in Mitchelstown.
This is a new one now.
Timmy was lying was drunk on the sideline, but they needed a goal.
Yeah. James's dad was our manager. He says, "Timmy, get ready there, dressed up you there. Come on." I was out for about 3 days now at this stage. No sleep, no nothing. Togged off. We were drinking bottles on the sideline of the pitch. And he says, "Come on, it's we're in extra time there, lads. It's 1-1. Like, come on." I scored a winning goal. About 10 of them jump up my back. I couldn't even get up off the floor. I had to get off. I couldn't even drink. We went into the pub on the way back. I couldn't even drink. I was like a fella dying with the flu. A lot of you in here now will know what flu. It wasn't the flu.
The Colombian flu.
never happened to me, thank God.
I know. But do you know when you talk to us about like what was it like as a 18, 19 year old going into the senior setup? Like what was the demands physically? Like was it a big baptism of fire or?
Well, I played minor obviously with Cork hurling football. Then I was called into the football team, and luckily enough, we got to the All Ireland final my first year with Cork. And again, I was playing with some great players, Billy Morgan, all these Ray Cummins, all fabulous, huge names. I'd watched them for years playing senior with Cork. Here all of a sudden I was playing with him, but I honestly didn't feel any pressure that time because when you're young, I don't think you feel the pressure. I didn't care at that stage, but in my latter years playing hurling with Cork and football, I did feel the pressure a lot more. You get to realise how much it means to people, and especially I learned that in Cork over the years, what being in Croke Park means to Cork people. I was even there the other day in Croke Park, and I was talking to Roy Keane about this, and he was saying, playing with Ireland, playing with Manchester United, playing with Forest. It's not the same. And I said, well, it is. Must be playing with Aaron Roy. Must be fantastic. And he said, no. He said, there's nothing like seeing Cork and Croke Park and all Ireland final day. And he said, he was just saying he'd love to see it again, you know. And, you know, he really meant it because I suppose he said there's great pride in where you come from and you're representing your city and your county. And it means an awful lot to Cork people to be in Croke Park. We all know that.
Absolutely. But as well, it's different from the soccer because soccer stars are kind of detached from the local community. Whereas GA, you fellas that's living in your estate or working in your area.
That was Roy's point. Like they come from all over England to play with Man U or Ireland and all over Europe and the world nowadays. And whereas if we get to Croke Park in Cork, please God, we will in the next couple of years. We know all of them. We know their families. And it's special for people, I think.
Yeah, do you know in your early years then with your career, like were you working on the side, like what was it like outside of the Gaelic and the football and the football and the hurling for you?
As regards
just like your personal life, like were you working the day job or?
I didn't really leave insert a very average leaving cert. I wasn't the most academic person, so I started off working in the county hall, a temporary job, and then we got a job in the financial services, a rep. I suppose because I was playing with Cork, I got a job. But I wouldn't say I was the brightest fella around town with working out the interest rates or anything, but I managed to get by anyway. like most of us in that sector.
Yeah, it's true, you fit in well. Yeah. But you know, when as you got a little bit older then, so you started playing hurling and football, two very successful teams as well.
But James, that's the thing, and what I did learn about that time, about working on the road and meeting people and all that, and some of my colleagues I worked with years ago, and a present colleague of mine is here tonight, hi Donna. So... you know, it's you get to know when you're out and about meeting people. I did learn one thing, that you have to be yourself. And if you're calling, like my job is calling to different garages, finance for cars, and you've got to meet people, you've got to be able to present yourself. You've got to be able to, you know, be natural with people. If you're not that, I think people see through you in Cork especially. And I must say, over the years, on my working career, I got fantastic support from people in Cork, and they really stood by me, and I'll always be grateful for that.
Yeah, listen, the Cork look after the other one. Yeah.
Chalk it down.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
What were some of the real highlights of your career, Jimmy, in terms of your...
You know, you played some of them there earlier on. I suppose the 1973 final is very, very special because it was the only football medal I won. And then winning the 3 in a row, hurling was a unique achievement. And also then, you know, my final year, 1986, we managed to win the final. We were coached by a great friend of mine, Johnny Clifford. So that was very, very special for me. Johnny was a great Glen man and a great coach. And he was somebody I always looked up to as a hurling man, and great to be part of a team that he managed to coach. And then really special was 1999 with a very, very young Cork team. After a few barren years, we managed to win the All-Ireland. And that was, I'll never forget that. That was really, really special for me.
But when you think about the talent that was in that team, the O'Connor brothers, Sean Og, you know, Jordine, what was it like seeing them coming up?
Yeah, we had great goalkeeper Donal Cusack, we had Sean Og, we had Ben O'Connor, all these, the O'Connors, as you said, all these lads. You know, Brian Cochran was a fantastic player for us. It was just unique to be part of that. And I opted out the year later, but they went on to become legends in the game, really.
Absolutely. And you scored some of the most iconic goals in football and hurling. But talk us through that famous goal. It's widely quoted as the best goal of all time. The ball is fired into you 100 mile an hour and you get a flick of the wrist into the top corner. Well, what do you remember about it?
I remember it's like, it was the All-Ireland semi-final. I'd have preferred it for the final. We won it because I was captain and we lost the final afterwards. But it was really nice. It was a fantastic goal and it's always there. I suppose John Fenton played a brilliant ball into me. But when you're going for balls like that, you don't think, you know, I'm going to do this thing today.
Instinct.
It's instinct. Like, and it just happened on the day and it's no big deal about it, really. It just happened.
You said something there about, like, it's great when you win an All-Ireland final. Everybody's happy. Like, how do you approach the loss of an All-Ireland final? How do you pick each other up back up off the floor as a team and as individuals as well?
Yeah, some people find it hard. You know, I think like that you can... What I try to do in my career anyway, I always try to keep sport in perspective. I mean, we've all lost family members over the years and, you know, people suffer a lot of illnesses and addictions and different things, as you know from you've gone through your podcasts and all that. I've read about them, listened to them. So, like, I've always tried to keep sport in perspective, that it was fantastic to play with Cork and to manage Cork, and always not try to get too ahead of yourself, that at the end of the day, it's sport. And, you know, people do get very down it. And I've read lately that a lot of sports people do suffer addictions because they find it hard to cope with, say, being dropped off a team or left off a panel or, you know, or suffering defeats. But, you know, it can be difficult for people from that point of view. But you've got to always try and keep a perspective that it is a sport and there's far, far worse things happening in the world than Cork losing a match down the park tomorrow or something.
100%.
Yeah, no, for all your, like, you're very decorated as a player. But I've heard you speaking previously about it was your dream to captain Cork to an All-Ireland title, but you were beaten in two finals. What was it like at that time? Was it a difficult time for you? I don't know you're talking about perspective, but it must have been tough.
Thanks for reminding me.
Keep you humble, Jimmy.
Get the box.
I need someone stronger than that. No, in a minute. I made a mistake in an interview one day saying, it was around 1970, and I said, what ambitions have you? Well, I said, I've only one ambition, to captain Cork to win All Ireland. It's the most stupid thing. You should always keep certain things to yourself. And every time I got to the final twice, I was captain and I bombed out twice. I played shocking, and I'll never forget it, but it was a good lesson to keep things in perspective. You know, if you've big ambitions, keep them to yourself a small bit and don't make it too public.
Yeah. Do you think
there's always someone waiting to trip you up?
Yeah, but you know, when you put it out there, do you think that you put yourself under pressure then?
I did, and I would put it down definitely. I played well up to the finals, but when I got to the final, I think I wanted it so much, I didn't play well myself. And that's being perfectly honest, I did play poorly, and I put a lot of it down to the pressure I brought to bear on myself.
What's life like post-career? Like, is it difficult? Like, you know, if you're lifting all Ireland titles, Munster titles, and you're winning stuff with the Bears, and then it's over. Like, how do you? Like, I know a lot of we've had athletes on the podcast that found that really difficult to acclimatise to that. What was it like for you, or what did you do?
I didn't find it that hard. I have a lot of other interests. I keep a few greyhounds. I go for a few pints. I enjoy my social life. I go to Cheltenham every year, and I enjoy myself.
Did you win a few quid on Langerdan last week?
I did, and you text me so after the race just as well. I did. As if I didn't back Langerdan, I'd be having a show here myself next week.
Was that a horse from Cork?
The Cork back.
You won as well.
Fuck you.
They won the Cork back to me, I think.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But your son then, Brian, he's a coach over at Man City. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, Brian played GA as well, played a lot of soccer, played with Cork City. And very proud of that. He played with Ireland under 18, under 19, under 21. And he got a few caps, so very, very proud of that. And he's now working with the Man City Academy, working with Pep Guardiola. So it's
amazing, isn't it?
Lovely, it's great, yeah. Yeah,
We'd love to get him on the podcast if you could make it.
We don't know who to ask for Manchester City if I kick tickets to the other.
I'm his agent, looking at me.
But you know, if I asked you who was the best player you played against, what would you say? For hurling and football?
Very, very difficult question. I've had so many good players, James. You know, I can't really pin down. As I so many players I admired over the years. Of the players that I've been involved with, I would say Brian Corcoran, certainly with Cork hurling, was a magnificent player. And, you know, I can't be blowing up Charlie McCarthy's in the audience. I can't even earlier. He'd be very upset going home if I didn't mention him.
I know. What about some of the best players you played with?
Definitely. As I said, Charlie, Ray Cummins, great player.
Yeah.
So many players like John Fenton I played with, Tom Cashman, all great players. Tomás Mulcahy from the Glen again, Tony O'Sullivan of Pearshig, all great players. You know, I was lucky in my career. You can be very lucky at different times the era you come along.
The era you were in is like a who's who of Cork legends.
Exactly. I was lucky. Yeah, I was. Great
you think
like
Patrick Horgan now, who was as good as anybody, but it's difficult because the era, I suppose, he might go through without winning an All-Ireland, which is a shame.
It was a bit, when I was coaching Cork, it was a bit like that with Brian Corcoran, and it was reaching a stage where Brian might not have won All-Ireland.
Yeah.
But hopefully Patrick will win one, yes, hopefully this year. And that's what Roy was saying to me the other day. Can we have? We better get them back to Croke Park this year. Yeah. And I hope we do.
Do you know what the saying goes? Behind every strong man, there's a stronger woman. Did your wife help you in every step through your career? And even
she wouldn't like to be reminded of it. But we always said at home, kept things in perspective. Hurling and football never became too big in the house. That if we never get too up or never get too down. I said earlier, I always like to keep it that way.
Yeah.
And, at home as well, when my mother gave out to my father one time, he was on people's, some goal they missed in a match, and she gave out to him, you know, just leave it off. And just leave it outside the house. And it's better that way, I think.
Yeah.
Tell us about Christy Ring. What was Christy Ring like? He was a part of the staff when you were a player.
He was, yeah.
What was he like as a man? Like, did he have an aura about him?
There was an aura about him, definitely, because as I said earlier, he was the man. I'm sure you ask all the Cork players I was playing with as well, they'd have been the same. He was he was very slow to get involved because he was a very private man. And then they managed to get him to get involved in the Cork team. And he had a significant part to play in winning the three All-Irelands in a row because he was a huge figure for us. He was there. He was a presence. He often spoke to the players. He spoke to us privately in different ways. And he was a big influence.
Did he ever give you like a team talk that stands out?
He gave a couple of speeches, yeah, at different times. You know, we were playing Clare one day in a Munster final and we weren't playing well and we were coming off the field. I think we were 2 points down and Clare Crowe were going ballistic in the stand and roaring and it looked like we were in trouble. And he took over the dressing room that day, gave a phenomenal speech. You know, and the last thing he said, going, oh, we are Cork and we'll sort this out. And we won anyway.
Brilliant. Nice. Yeah.
So one of your main passions in life today is your dogs, you know, is it, so how does your life evolve with the dogs today? And
it's just a hobby, really.
Are they racehounds?
I have a lot of hobbies. I'm involved in my own club now again. I got involved when I finished playing with Cork, but now I'm finished with all that, obviously. At a certain age, you've got to realise it's time to move on and enjoy the rest of your life in a relaxed way. And I mean, if I have my own club in under 18 hurling and that, and I love that. I've seen the young players coming through and play some small part in that. I'm only a backup now to the lads doing all the hard work, but I'm a hanger on really, I suppose, getting in, keeping, if they win something, I claim all the glory.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
God.
Listen, there's worse things you can do in your retirement than spend it with dogs because they're a great animal.
They don't talk back anyway.
No, absolutely not. But come here, Jimmy, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. You're a living legend and it's an honour to share the stage with you.
Thanks, mate. You did great.
Jimmy Barry Murphy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.